This morning, our speaker is Jill Austin. Jill is a faculty member and department chair at MTSU. She teaches courses in leadership, ethics, and nonprofit management. She currently serves as UUFM worship committee chair. Jill will speak on the topic UU humor. Let's welcome Jill.
Good morning. During the sermon today, we'll laugh a little. Maybe we'll also remember some ways we are as Unitarian Universalists. I've told you these some, you might be a Unitarian if jokes before. One of them says, you might be a Unitarian if you think socks are too formal for a summer UU service. So today I'm going to provide some comments about Unitarian Universalism in the form of humorous stories and jokes. So let's laugh a little today, and let's see what truths we can see about Unitarian Universalism through these funny stories and jokes. There are lots of religious jokes that begin with statements like, a priest, a rabbi, and a Baptist walk into a bar. Or, John died and met St. Peter at the pearly gates of heaven. Or, a nun had three wishes. I won't tell those jokes today. But here's an example of a joke that might apply to a Sunday sermon at a typical Christian church. A preacher completing a sermon about the evils of alcohol spoke with great fervor. He said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd throw it all into the river. And with greater emphasis, he said, if I had all the wine in the world, I'd throw it in the river. And finally, he said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd throw it in the river too. He took his chair, the song leader stood up for the final song, and he announced with a smile, for our closing hymn, we will sing number 365, We Shall Gather at the River. Now, here's a typical Unitarian Universalist joke. Once upon a time, a UU was shipwrecked alone on an uninhabited island. When he was found, the rescuers noticed that he had built two churches. Asked what it meant, he said, this one I go to, that one I wouldn't go near. Now let me tell a humorous story about different religious doctrines called the Pope and the Rabbi. Several centuries ago, the Pope decreed that all the Jews had to convert to Catholicism or leave Italy. There was a huge outcry from the Jewish community, so the Pope offered a deal. He would have a religious debate with the leader of the Jewish community. If the Jews won, they could stay in Italy. If the Pope won, then they would either have to convert or leave. So the Jewish people met, and they picked an aged and wise rabbi to represent them in the debate. However, the rabbi spoke no Italian, the Pope spoke no Yiddish, so they agreed to a silent debate. So on the chosen day, the Pope and the rabbi sat opposite each other. The Pope raised his hand, and he showed three fingers. The rabbi looked back and raised one finger. Next, the Pope waved his finger around his head. The rabbi pointed to the ground where he sat. The Pope brought out a communion wafer and a container of wine. The rabbi pulled out an apple. With that, the Pope stood up and he just declared himself beaten. And he said the rabbi was just too clever for him and the Jews could stay in Italy. Later, the cardinals met with the Pope and asked him what happened. The Pope said, first, I held up three fingers to represent the Trinity. He responded by holding up a single finger to remind me that there's still only one God common to both our beliefs. Then I waved my finger around my head, showing him that God was all around us. The rabbi responded by pointing to the ground to show us that God is also right here with us. I pulled out the wine and wafer to show that God absolves us of all of our sins. And then the rabbi pulled out an apple to remind me of original sin. He bested me at every turn, and I just couldn't continue. Meanwhile, the Jewish community gathered to ask the rabbi how he had won. He said, I don't have a clue. First, he told me we had 3 days to get out of Italy, so I gave him the finger. Then he tells me that the whole country would be cleared of Jews, and I told him that we're staying right here. And then what? Asked a woman. Who knows, said the rabbi. He took out his lunch, so I took out mine. So, what makes a joke funny? What we think is funny depends on our experiences, our culture, our geography, our intelligence, our education, our personality, and probably lots of other factors. Some people enjoy satire, while others like slapstick, and others enjoy a good cartoon. Humor can be verbal, visual, or physical. We enjoy telling and listening to jokes and humorous stories for many, many reasons. There are good health effects to laughter. Laughter is an antidote to stress, and it relieves pain. Laughter activates the immune system to help fight off illness and disease. Laughter helps to reduce conflict among people and is generally good for morale. Laughter helps us build community and to develop shared experiences. Research shows us that there's a specific area of our brains which enables us to react to humor. Using the brain scanning technology, magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, scientists have found that the precise area for humor is behind the frontal lobes of the brain, in the section of the prefrontal cortex, which also plays a large part in flexible thinking. At the Laugh Lab, there was an experiment that was held to understand this phenomenon, where a group of people undertook these MRI scans and they answered a series of questions. They listened to jokes, their brain activity was scanned. They were then read serious sentences, and both results were compared. The findings were very clear. When the punchlines of the jokes were heard, the scans showed much more activity in the prefrontal cortex of the brain compared to when the serious stories were read. Obviously, the study illustrated that when this part of the brain was activated, it enabled the participants to get the punchline within an element of surprise and ultimately realize why the joke was funny. It was clear that without the function of this portion of the brain, understanding a joke would be very difficult, if not impossible. In fact, research shows that people who have suffered from brain damage to this frontal area of the brain have commonly lost their ability to have a sense of humor. Now, can we or should we really try to explain humor scientifically? Some people say, well, no, because you really just can't explain something and why something is funny or if it's funny. Arthur E.B. White once said, humor can be dissected as a frog can, but the thing dies in the process and the innards are discouraging to any but the pure scientific mind. So maybe don't try to explain a joke. If you do, you kill it. It's either funny or it's not. We also think of jokes as a cultural constant, but humor likely comes and goes with the fall and the rise of civilizations. Societies have been telling jokes for thousands of years. The first joke is said to have originated in ancient Greece in 1200 BCE by Palamedes, the person who outwitted Odysseus before the Trojan War. But Palamedes was also credited with inventing numbers, the alphabet, lighthouses, dice, and the practice of eating meals at regular intervals. So the claim that he told the first joke should probably be taken with a grain of salt. Sorry, I don't know this Palamedes joke, but it was likely tied to his time in history, and it might not seem funny to us today. The first comedy club was actually formed in 350 BCE. This club was called the Group of 60, and these early comedians convened at the Temple of Heracles to swap jokes and witticisms. According to Jim Holt, what distinguishes a joke from a humorous tale is that a joke has a punchline. There's this little verbal explosion set off by a sudden switch in meaning. A joke is brief. As Freud observed, a joke says what it has to say, not just in a few words, but in too few words. The classic joke proceeds with arrow-like swiftness, resolving its matter in the form of a two-liner or even a one-liner, such as the old joke, "I was so ugly when I was born, the doctor slapped my mother." So, what makes a joke funny? Jokes appeal to our feelings or our emotions about an issue in a humorous way. Jokes are similar to reality, but they're not exactly real, so we can laugh at our own mistakes or ideas. And jokes generally have some type of contradiction or surprise or paradox in the joke that maybe makes us look at an issue in a different or an amusing way. Jokes can help us to understand what it is to be human. Now, if we think about religious jokes in particular, they typically fall into three categories. There are jokes based on stereotypes associated with religious people, such as nun jokes, priest jokes, or rabbi jokes. There are jokes on classical religious subjects like the crucifixion or Adam and Eve. There are jokes that show differences in religious denominations, such as a rabbi, a medicine man, and a pastor went fishing, and whatever. Religious jokes are not really so funny when we laugh at other people's ideas or religions, but more when we laugh with them. When we find amusing ways to explain our religious differences that help us to find some understanding, some common ground, or just maybe some understanding of our disagreements on theology. Religious jokes really are not funny when they demean other people or make fun of other people's ideas, but rather when they illuminate the truth in an interesting and a funny way. So for the next few minutes, let me tell you some jokes and humorous stories about Unitarian Universalists. None of these are made up by me, and I'm sure you've probably heard many of these jokes before. There is some truth, I think, in these UU stories and jokes about our theology, about how we interact with others, and about issues that we care about. I must make a disclaimer here. All these jokes may not be funny to you. In my defense, they were called jokes or humorous stories in the books where I found them. First, a couple of stories about our Unitarian Universalist religious beliefs. Some people say that Unitarian theology is based on potluck. Everyone brings something different, everything is shared, and everyone takes what bits they like. So listen to these jokes about our beliefs. What is the difference in a Baptist and a Unitarian Universalist? They both sin, but the Baptist can't really enjoy it. What do you mean it's a creedless religion? That means you don't believe anything, right? No, that's not what it means. So what do you believe in? Well, for one thing, we believe in creedless religion. Now, what about our beliefs about hell? Here's a story. Once upon a time, there were two churches in a small rural village. One was Universalist, one was Evangelical. A visitor asked why two churches were needed in so small a town. A resident replied, "That church there says there ain't no hell. The other church says the hell there ain't." A traveler couldn't find the local Unitarian Universalist church. After looking in the center of town, in the suburbs, out in the surrounding countryside, the traveler stopped and asked a farmer, Am I too far out for the Unitarian Universalist Church? The farmer says, "Nobody's too far out for that church." We do have seven principles that are important to us. Here's a story about the principles. Once upon a time, two cars were in a wreck on the interstate. Both drivers were very seriously hurt. The state police arrived, and they asked the victims if they would like a priest. The first man was Catholic, and he asked for a priest. The second man was a Unitarian. One of the officers knew that there was a Unitarian church nearby, so she called the church, and the UU minister came right over. The minister rushed to the injured Unitarian man, and before he could introduce himself, he heard the priest take the Catholic man's last confession, saying, "Do you believe in God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?" The UU minister didn't want to appear less professional than the priest, so he bent over the injured Unitarian and he said, "Do you believe in the inherent worth and dignity and the interdependent web of all existence?" So what about religious doubt and life after death? One UU said, "I'm not even sure if I am a Unitarian Universalist, but I suppose that removes all doubt." A Christian said to a UU minister, "I hear you don't believe in life after death." The minister responded, "We believe in life before death." UU minister Robert Fulgham was asked if he really was a minister, and he responded, "I am a minister in a religious community, the Unitarian Universalist Association. Our motto is, we don't ever leave well enough alone." Okay, here's a question. Why did the Unitarian Universalist cross the road? The answer, to support the chicken in its search for its own path. Now, one more joke about Unitarian Universalist beliefs. A fundamentalist Christian said to a UU, "I hear you deny the divinity of Christ." The UU responded, "No, no, that's not true. We don't deny the divinity of anybody." Now, let's change the topic and talk about UU children. We think our Unitarian Universalist children are special. They're creative, they're smart, they're active. Here are a couple of stories about these precocious UU kids. In a recent sermon, a UU minister recalled the tale of a child who had recently run into the street and could have been struck by an oncoming car. The child had been told to stop, and being from a strict Mormon family, he obeyed immediately. The child was saved. The UU minister said, if that kid had been a UU, he surely would have been hit. The children of a UU religious education class were drawing pictures. The teacher asked one child, what are you drawing? I'm drawing a picture of God, he said. But nobody knows what God looks like, objected the teacher. Well, they will when I get my picture done, the child said. A UU parent went to Boston to the UUA, and when he returned, his young child asked, did you meet them? Did you meet them? Meet who? The seven principles. Now, this is supposedly a real story that happened at a UU Sunday school. The kindergarten class was discussing prayer, and the children seemed aware that the way you end a prayer was with amen. Does anyone know what amen means? The teacher asked. It was this really long silence, and then one boy raised his hand and he said, well, I think it means like send. Now a few amusing stories about our religious practices. If you've been to more than 50 UU churches, you're obviously a folk singer. Once upon a time, a ship was being tossed dangerously on a stormy sea. The passengers grew more and more distraught at the dashing of the waves intensified. Finally, they came to the captain. They begged him to lead them in prayer. The captain was unable to hide his concern, but he said, I'm not a religious man, but I understand the first mate here is a Unitarian. We'll call on him. So the passengers bowed their head. They waited for the junior officer to speak. The first mate bowed his head. He paused for a moment. He looked up and he said, we will now have a moment of silent meditation. There was a visitor to a UU church. He sat through the sermon and he was just growing more and more shocked with the ideas that were being voiced from the pulpit. And afterward, a UU asked the visitor, so, how'd you like it? And the visitor said, I can't believe half the things that minister said. The UU said, oh, good, you'll fit right in. We organize and we operate our congregations in different ways than some other churches. We interact differently in many ways. A few funny stories to illustrate. We do like to discuss things. If an airplane were about to crash, some of the passengers would cry, some would pray, but a UU would try to organize a committee on air safety. Or, here's another example. There's a cartoon where there are two signs in the woods. One says heaven, the other says a discussion about heaven. The UUs are headed down the path for the discussion about heaven. How can you prove UUs are just too obsessed with including everybody in discussions and being welcoming to everyone on Sunday? Answer, if UUs had to form a firing squad, they would arrange themselves in a circle. Now, what do you get when you put two UUs in a room? At least three opinions. What do you call a UU who is on the church board, on the worship committee, makes the coffee, and chairs the pledge drive? Slacker. A UU is a person who approaches every subject with an open mouth. Or, arguing with a Unitarian is like mud wrestling with a pig. Pretty soon you realize the pig likes it. Okay. So let's be serious for just a minute here. We can laugh at ourselves and we can see a little bit of truth in these jokes. And we can also better define who we are as Unitarian Universalists by thinking about some of the issues that are brought up in these jokes. We have strong beliefs about values and religion. Our beliefs are not all the same, but we respect each other in our search for the truth, for our truth. We do agree that our principles are important. We try to live up to them, even though we often fall short. And as I said earlier, jokes about real are about real issues, and they do hold some truth, but they're not exactly real or the whole truth. You heard jokes about our beliefs, our UU children, our religious practices, our church organizational processes. Whether it's our principles or how we believe we should live our daily lives or our tendency to have lively discussions, these jokes and stories remind us of who we are as a faith community. We can be proud to belong to a religion that is caring and open-minded and encourages us to seek our own spiritual path. We are a community brought together through shared values, and we put in our faith into action, and we try to make the world a better place. It's okay for us to laugh at ourselves from time to time. These jokes remind us a little about who we are and how we build community here on Sunday. But these jokes do not describe all that we are. Let's consider two more issues that are very important to Unitarian Universalists. I could not find one joke about social justice. I guess social justice just is not very funny. It's not easy to make the real life hardships of people into funny UU stories or jokes. Hunger, homelessness, discrimination, economic injustice, these are just not funny topics. But social justice is a very important issue to Unitarian Universalists. It's our history and our heritage to help others where we can and to make the world better. A second issue that's not easy to joke about is that Unitarian Universalism is about more than building our community here on Sunday and helping others through social justice. I'm talking about our individual, personal, or spiritual growth. This is also why we are Unitarian Universalists. We want to learn and grow as individuals, and our community here helps us to do that. Reverend Mark Bellatini said, "Our work as liberal religious people is not to find ways to supersede others, but rather to find ways to supersede ourselves, to grow beyond our limitations and our constrictive boundaries." We are learning here how to be our best selves. Charles Magistro said, "I'm amused by the view that it's easy to be a Unitarian Universalist. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to be persistent, courageous, and curious. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to search the murky waters of life without sure charts to guide us or any guarantee that we will find a safe port to put down anchor. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to overcome the natural fear of the unknown and venture forth with nothing to sustain us save our zest for living and hunger for new experience and knowledge." We also know that our congregation is different from other congregations. While we have the same principles and many similar ways of doing things, and we have the same history, we're still not the same. Every UU congregation is unique, and that's why we can say, when you've been to one UU church, you've been to one UU church. Now I'm going to close with a few more jokes. You might be a Unitarian Universalist if jokes. You might be a Unitarian Universalist if the name of your church is longer than your arm. You might be a Unitarian Universalist if you wear jeans and a t-shirt on Sunday. Or if the vanity license plate on your pickup reads Thoreau. Or you might be a Unitarian Universalist if you think the Holy Trinity is reduce, reuse, and recycle. Or you might be a Unitarian Universalist if to explain your personal theology, you have to use interpretive dance. Or if you get so fired up about an issue that you just finally have to go out and write an essay about it. Or you might be a Unitarian Universalist if the money you sent to the Sierra Club last year was more than you spent on your mother at Christmas. Or if your child says to you before eating dinner at a friend's house, "I'll remember to say my pleases and thank yous, but I'm not going to say that dinner pledge of allegiance." Now, as I said earlier, I think UU jokes help us to learn a little about what it means to be UU. Laughing at some of the ways we do things and the ways we think helps us to not take ourselves too seriously, and laughing at our UU jokes reminds us that being more attentive or empathetic to others is also important. As we laugh with each other about differences in religion, we are reminded that we should practice giving grace or space to others, and we hope others will give grace to us in our approach to our faith and what it means to be UU. I'm going to end with a little UU history. Thomas Starr King was a Universalist minister who later became a Unitarian. He lived from 1824 to 1864. After an 11-year ministry in the Northeast, he moved to California. During the Civil War, California had to decide two important things: whether to stay in the United States or secede, and whether to be a slave state or a free state. Starr King was an excellent and convincing speaker, and he spoke throughout California continuously about these two issues, and he was successful in turning public opinion. Also, Starr King helped found the American Sanitary Commission, which was the original American Red Cross. As a recognition of his importance in history, a statue of Thomas Starr King was placed in Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol from 1931 to 2009. Starr King is given credit for a quote that describes the difference in Unitarians and Universalists. It's short, to the point, and while it's not a joke, it's a nice, amusing turn of a phrase. As you know, Unitarians in history did not believe in the Trinity, just one God, and historically Universalists believed that a loving God would not send anyone to hell. So here's what Starr King said. The Universalist believes that God is too good to damn us forever, and you Unitarians believe that you are too good to be damned. Now, that's not a joke, but it does make me smile, and finding a little humor in life is a good thing. Thank you.